Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
This is Stephen Strang. You know, Bible prophecy is in the news, and especially so with all the talk of war in Iran. But those of us who believe the Bible and who believe that there is a prophetic future, we look to the book of Revelation, which is frankly hard for someone like me to even understand. But I'm going to talk today to an author who has written a very important book called The Wormwood Prophecies. His name is Tom Horn. He is from Crane, Missouri. And so here is my interview with Tom Horn, in which he explains more about the Wormwood Prophecies. Tom Horn, I'm fascinated with this Wormwood Prophecy, which relates to Revelation chapter 8. Mm-hmm. Bible-believing Christians believe Revelation is going to happen, but have no idea how, don't understand most of it, and ignore it, except when they have to deal with it. And you've hit this kind of head-on, basically saying that this wormwood that John prophesied in Revelation 8 is an asteroid, and you've even predicted the date that it's going to hit the earth 9 years from now. So can you kind of walk me and my listeners through how this is going to happen? You know, people really need to read the book. A short podcast isn't going to do it, but I want to try to get out the word because I believe this is very, very important. Unfortunately, most people, including a lot of Christians, just kind of write this off as a bunch of nonsense and go on down the road, or in some cases, they actually attack you. So let me maybe start by asking, have you actually been attacked by people that don't agree with you about this?
Well, over my lifetime, on different occasions, sure. And the internet, of course, has opened up a whole world where, you know, that today they call them trolls. When I was a pastor, you always had those people that would want to come into the church and create schism or whatever. And then I think there's well-meaning people that can also disagree with you, right? Not even everybody in the Assemblies of God or in evangelical or charismatic Christianity necessarily make much of Bible prophecy because they think too much of it is highly speculative, and there's just all these different worldviews around it. So it doesn't bother me if people disagree with me. Some of my best friends, Dr. Michael Heiser, probably disagrees with me 50% of the time. He's a great guy, much smarter than me, so I don't try to pick a fight with him, right, over theology. But that's fine. Iron can sharpen iron, and we can disagree. All I can do in this case is tell you what I saw, what motivated me. But then, because, you know, what we believe is not, the Bible says, not based on any private interpretation. The Bible is the authority, not Tom Horn's opinion about something. And so what I try to do is keep it all very, very near to just reading the scripture and letting it translate for itself. But I am a prophecy believer, therefore I do believe that the book of Revelation is going to come to pass. And I can tell you that this study actually changed the way that I read a lot of scriptures. Like Revelation chapter 8, the first four trumpets, I had never read them as the different parts of a singular event. And that was pointed out to me by an astronomer. He said, if you're an astronomer and you read Revelation 8, here's what you read. The first trumpet sounds. What happens? Particles fall down from heaven burning, right? And they catch the grasses and the fields on fire. That's exactly what would happen ahead of a very large asteroid or body where you have the debris that's being pushed out in front of it that's breaking up as it enters into the atmosphere. That's going to happen first. Second thing it says is a stone burning like a mountain falls down to the earth, and it's wiping out like the tidal, the oceans and the ships and stuff in the sea. This could be a binary asteroid where it's two parts. One part hits the earth, one part hits the sea. Or it could be like a stone like Apophis. It's very large. It breaks apart as it enters into the atmosphere. So the first part hits the earth. Right after that, the second part that is called wormwood, the third trumpet judgment, hits the ground. It's polluting and corrupting the waters. But then what happens? The fourth trumpet sounds, and it says darkness envelops the sky and blackens out the sun and the moon. That's exactly what would happen with these large bodies hitting the earth, boiling the waters of the sea, causing them to rise up into the atmosphere, creating hurricane and tornado activity, impacting the earth, the second part of it, knocking all this dust and debris up into the heavens. It would literally, for a period of 2 or 3 days, just as described in the scripture, blacken out the sun and the moon. So by doing this study, it really kind of changed the way that I looked at a lot of scriptures, even though I was a preacher and a pastor for more than 25 years and an executive in the Assemblies of God for 8 in the Oregon District. Now, what I will tell you is when I was first alerted in my spirit to all of this, again, I said in the first podcast, I didn't know anything about Apophis. Didn't know anything. I knew that NASA had named an asteroid Apophis. And by the way, the date is not my date. That's the NASA NEOWISE team. That's what they say. They say that at first, when they first discovered Apophis, they gave it a fairly high chance of impacting the Earth on that date, Friday the 13th, April 2029. Later, they said, well, we think now there's a lesser chance that it's going to happen. People read the book, they'll find out why I believe there's a cover-up involved in that. That has to do with the fact that too many people would be afraid. People are going to quit their jobs and move out into the jungle and become survivalists. It's going to create chaos, martial law. That all ultimately is probably coming anyway. But it's NASA's date, not mine. But here's what I found.
And everybody knows that it is, well, first of all, small asteroids probably hit our atmosphere and are burned up.
Right.
We call them shooting stars,
that's
don't
right.
we? And everyone knows that there are things out there. Of course, the chances of them colliding in outer space are fairly small, and none of us think it's going to happen, at least not in our lifetime. But you're saying that this very mystical stuff in Revelation, and a lot of it just defies logic, but it could actually come to pass.
I think it's going to come to pass. And so let me give you some statistics around Apophis and why NASA is so concerned about it behind the scenes. Apophis weighs an estimated 20 million metric tons. It's as big as 4 NFL football fields. It's traveling through space at 28,000 miles an hour. If it impacts the Earth, they're mapping trajectories, by the way. One of their trajectories shows it hitting the Earth in 2029 and coming down along the coastlines of Mexico and California, so a highly densely populated area, right? If it does hit the Earth, here's what that inertia impact represents from a stone that big. If it hits the Earth, NASA's scientists have concluded that it will be equivalent to 65,000 Hiroshima nuclear warheads going off all at one time in one place. So imagine sinking Nagasaki, right, with a singular atomic bomb and having 65,000 of those going off all at one time. Another scientist at NASA says it's roughly equivalent to every nuke on the planet today being brought to one location and put off all at one time. It could literally crack the mantle of the Earth. That's what an impact this is going to be. At a minimum, it represents tens of millions of deaths, but depending on where it comes down and what the long-term, like the atmospheric, the clouds, you know, filling the sky, the debris, it could ultimately lead to billions of deaths. And this is what Revelation 8 describes, these two objects, mountains falling out of the heavens, hitting the ground, Wormwood being the one that pollutes a third of the Earth's waters, which, of course, if they read the book, they'll also go into my meanderings about how could it corrupt so much of the Earth's waters that many people die. Because, you know, Steve, I'm not a scientist. So when I first started looking into Wormwood, I got a hold of my good friend, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, whose day job is a senior analyst at the Pentagon. I said, can you put me in contact with an impact specialist that works with the government, because I want to ask a question about a giant asteroid. Well, he did, and I had those conversations, but I was thinking wrong, because what I was thinking is, okay, how big would a rock have to be? Could Apophis fulfill that to impact the oceans, and then what? Bleed back through the tributaries and affect enough of the Earth's waters to contaminate the waters? How would that have to work? But the bottom line was, Wormwood could fulfill this prophecy in numerous ways. For instance, one of the mitigation ideas that Russia is working on especially, but also NASA and the European Space Agency, their idea that perhaps we could nuke, you know, this giant rock. If in 5 years from now it becomes obvious that it's going to impact the Earth and you can no longer conceal the information, because by then, quasi-commercial telescopes at home will be looking up into the sky and seeing Apophis racing towards the Earth. And mathematicians then will be calculating the trajectory. If it becomes obvious that it's going to impact the Earth, one of the things they've thought is, okay, we'll send Bruce Willis and his team, and they'll all go up into space with some nuclear warheads, right, the movie Armageddon, and they'll blow it up. But other scientists at NASA say that comes close to the stupidest idea ever, because it's such a giant rock, its gravitational field is so strong. First of all, you probably wouldn't even hit it, but if you did hit it and managed to break some parts off of it and blow up a bunch of nuclear bombs, its gravitational field is going to draw the rock back together because it's so strong. And now what you've done is you've radiated an asteroid. Now when it impacts the Earth and the waters are boiling and it's going up into the airspace that moves all this stuff around the Earth, you're literally raining down radiation upon the Earth. That's one of numerous ways by which Apophis could actually fulfill the prophecy as it's described in Revelation 8.
Well, it's interesting to speculate on what could happen. We Christians believe that the Word of God is true, even though there are a lot of parts we don't understand. And while you were talking, I thought of something entirely different that had to do with prophecy that Rabbi Jonathan Cahn brought out, and that's a prophecy that Moses gave at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 20, in which he talked about the desolation of Israel when God would judge it, and said that a stranger from a far land was going to describe the desolation. And, you know, what in the world does that mean? And who could it be? Well, Jonathan Cahn put things together, and he believes it was Mark Twain, who in 1867 went to Israel thinking he was going to go to this great place that he'd learned about when he grew up in Presbyterian Sunday school and so forth, and he was just dumbfounded with how desolate it was. You know, the Turks had basically just turned it into a desert by cutting down all the trees and everything else they did. And so all of a sudden, you see, Mark Twain was a stranger from a far land. He wrote about this in Innocents Abroad. I was aware of his trip and his description. It never occurred to me it was prophesied. So I just say that, you know, when all the pieces were come together, it was kind of like, well, of course I can see that. And, you know, in an earlier era where we didn't have space travel and we didn't have giant telescopes and we didn't have nuclear bombs that you were talking about and all these other things, it must have seemed even more spectacular. Now you can see that this could happen. It is entirely believable our government could cover it up because of even the things that have been coming out about the deep state and Donald Trump and everything else. And so, you know, could it be that the Lord is having you write this book to explain this prophecy to, shall I say, warn people? Or you use the example of Nineveh, where a prophecy didn't come true because people prayed.
And that's right.
We do know of self-defeating prophecies sometimes that are made in order to prevent something from happening. Of course, this is a prophecy from Revelation that we believe came from God. But as we kind of wrap up this, other than to encourage people to get the book, to read it, to form their own opinions, much as they do with, you know, some of Jonathan Cahn's books, where there's no way you can describe in a TV interview, a radio interview, or the depth that people can find in his books. So how can we kind of motivate people to read your book, and what do you hope they get from it after they read it?
Well, one of the things that I hope they get, and thank you for asking me that question. By the way, asteroids in ancient history, even in scripture, were considered to be messengers, right? Messengers from God, or in the pagan cultures, messengers from the gods. In fact, Apollo, the very next chapter, chapter 9 of Revelation, it says, "And a star," which is the same word, asteroid, "fell from heaven, and unto him," so now it's a personal pronoun, "was given the key to the bottomless pit." And he opens the bottomless pit, and it says they have a king down there, Abaddon, who is known in his Greek tongue, Apollyon, or Apollo. In fact, a lot of asteroids are called Apollo asteroids. In ancient times, Apollo was also called Japheth, I think. But it was Apollo as he moved through the space as a meteor burning, and it was a herald of plagues and things that were to come. Anyway, asteroids as a messenger. I would hope that people understand that that's all I'm trying to do here, that I believe in prophecy. There is a messenger that is coming. I believe that it is going to impact the earth, and I would also tell you that within 5 or 6 years from right now, we're going to know for sure. And then I think people around the world, this could literally give rise to the next great awakening. Some save with fear, right? The New Testament says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Some people are going to be motivated by fear. People in the church, though, they might be thrilled at the idea, because it says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your head, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And one of the things that's missing even from a lot of charismatic churches now is teaching on the imminency of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Following World War II, when 1948, the Balfour Declaration, when people saw that Israel was being brought back in and made a nation again, what did it do? Look what it did to the church. The church was asleep. Then all of a sudden they were like, oh my gosh, this is the budding of the fig tree, the second coming of Christ. And it gave birth to the greatest revival, period, in the history of humanity. All the great ministries that came out of that, right? All the way back to Oral Humbert, Rex Humbert, Billy Graham, just everything that came out of that. That's what I think could happen here, that within 4 to 5 years from right now, the church could be woke, like they say society is, right? The nearness of the coming of Jesus Christ, and it could literally revitalize the church. That's what I'm praying will happen. And then, of course, I only gave the one illustration. There's numerous illustrations. When God meets with Abram in the plains of Mamre, he says, if I find even 10 righteous, the judgment won't come. The famous Joel prophecy with the locusts covering the mountains, but he ends that prophecy by saying, but if you will turn to me with your whole heart, right, I will send you a blessing and not a curse. So the warning is certain. It is going to come. But God, if we turn to him, right? If my people, we're in this whole election process right now. You have a brand new book out on Trump and the 2020 election. And it still goes back to, you know, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land. This is what I hope people will take from this. I don't want to scare people. I want to awake people.
I hope this interview made you want to read this important book, which will help you understand the book of Revelation. The book is actually doing quite well. It's really available anywhere Christian books are sold. It came out about 2 months ago. And this is my effort to promote a book that I think is very important, which I think that you'll enjoy reading. And, you know, we need to pray that that asteroid misses the world, or we need to pray that God's will be done. There are things that we can affect and things that we can't, but we need to understand. We need to understand what God's word is saying. And also, Tom is a very gifted writer. He has written many books on the prophetic. This is one that he allowed Charisma House to publish, and I'm privileged to be the publisher of it. And I hope that you will go online or go buy it at the stores and check it out for yourself. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.